Welcome to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we will be identifying the top offenses going into the upcoming season. The threshold for this exercise is to pair my returning production database with 2023 offensive S&P Plus rankings. So to be featured in this episode, each team must meet the threshold of being a top 30 team in overall offensive returning production and have a 2023 top 30 offensive S&P Plus ranking. So teams that have met this barometer in the past have had incredible success. Last year, 11 teams met this threshold from an offensive perspective. Michigan was the only team to rank in the top 30 in offensive and defensive returning production and the top 30 in offensive and defensive S&P Plus ranking. And obviously, you know what happened with them. So of those 11 teams last year, seven of them surpassed their season win total. And on the season, those 11 teams went 74-55 against the spread. That is a 57.1% win rate. And they ended up netting a positive 13.5 units. Also, three of the four playoff teams came from those 11 teams. That would be Michigan, Texas, and Washington. Now, we have eight teams that we're going to look at in this episode. And being that there are 12 playoff spots now, you could legitimately make an argument for each of them. Now, I don't feel that way personally, but you could talk yourself into it if, you feel like it's justified. Now, a lot of the things we're going to go over with today are going to be based off of some advanced statistics. Success rate, as we have went over in the past, is an efficiency metric that determines the success of a play. Successful plays meet one of the following criteria. The offense scored. On first downs, the offense gained at least 50% of the yards to go. On second downs, the offense gained at least 70% of the yards to go. And on third and fourth downs, they gained at least 100% of the yards to go. Then we have points per opportunity, which are points scored on each drive that ends up inside the opponent's 40-yard line. So it's essentially like an extended red zone. And then we have explosive plays, which measures chunk plays based off passing and or offense. So we're going to dive right in. I'm going to give you the returning production profile of the team, and then I will pair that with the offensive advanced statistics from the previous year. And we'll go over some volatile statistics like strength of schedule, win-loss record in one-score games, turnover margin, and fumble luck. So let's dive in. Our first team on the list is going to be Missouri. Missouri has an overall offensive returning production of second, paired with a 2023 offensive S&P Plus ranking of 13th. So they will rank fifth in receiving yards returning production. And realistically, that is actually a tie for first. It's 100%. And they bring back every single wide receiver that had over 100 yards receiving last year. So that's the entire crew of wide receivers. They're going to rank 22nd in offensive line snaps returning production and 7th in rushing yards returning production. Now let's take a look at their offense and their advanced statistics from last year. In overall success rate, they ranked 26th. In overall explosiveness, they were 63rd. And then overall rushing success rate, 48th. Rushing explosiveness, 86th. Passing success rate, 13th. And passing explosiveness, 41st. And then they rank 29th in points per opportunity per game. Now, a couple things that stand out that give me a little bit of pause. They were 4-0 in one-score games. They had a turnover margin of plus 10, which was 11th in the country. And then they had a fumble luck of plus 1.5, which ranked for 42nd. Now, a couple positives, all right? Their strength of schedule is the easiest strength of schedule in the SEC, 115th overall. Now, before we dive into how we think this year is going to go, let's just acknowledge that Missouri was easily one of the biggest surprises, not in just the SEC last year, but in the entire country. They returned top 30 defensive returning production and top 30 defensive S&P Plus last year. And as you will see in future episodes and correlating articles, these are the teams that we are trying to target in preseason projections and or futures. Teams that have elite returning production from elite units. Now, as I touched in a previous episode, quarterback Brady Cook is extremely underrated. And he is more than capable of leading this team to yet another successful season. Now, I do have my concerns, as I was stating, when it comes to negative regression. And they will see some negative regression. Like, they're not going to go 4-0 in one-score games again. They're probably not going to record a turnover margin of plus 10 again. But one thing is, like I said, they play the easiest schedule in the SEC. And everyone else has caught up to, you know, how good this team is. That's why they have a 9.5 win total. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to win the SEC because I do not believe that to be true. But if they surpass that win total, which is definitely plausible, 10 wins in the SEC as an SEC team, they probably end up making the playoff. Now, I will give out my playoff picks later down the line, but Missouri is definitely a team that stands out, and they check a lot of boxes that people are looking for. Next on the list is another SEC team, and it's going to be Ole Miss. Ole Miss ranks third in overall offensive returning production, and they rank 14th in 2023 offensive S&P Plus ranking. Now, their receiving yards returning production is 40th, and their offensive line snaps returning production is 8th, and their offensive line and their their rushing yards returning production is 3rd. Now, when we dive into their advanced statistics from last year, you're going to see a very, very balanced and explosive offense. They're 43rd in overall success rate, 24th in overall explosiveness, 57th in rushing success rate, 44th in rushing explosiveness, and then you have 31st in offensive passing success rate, 21st in offensive passing explosiveness, and 20th in points per opportunity per game. Now, their profile is extremely similar to Missouri when it comes to the volatile statistics. They are, again, 4-0 in one-score games, turnover margin of plus 11, which is 8th in the country, and then fumble luck of plus 1.68, which is 41st in the country. Now, what really stands out to me is Ole Miss is one of three teams to return top 30 offensive and defensive returning production paired with a top 30 2023 S&P Plus offensive and defensive ranking. The other two teams we will get to in this episode, but there is a ton to like about this Ole Miss squad, especially from the offensive standpoint. Jackson Dart, in my opinion, as I have spoken earlier episodes, is a top three quarterback in the SEC. He's elite from the medium range, and regardless of how you feel about Lane Kiffin, he is a top five play caller in college football. And that pains me even to say that, but that is just the truth. Now, it feels like he's catching a gigantic break because Nick Saban has retired, and that has been his kryptonite his entire coaching career. Now, I do have concerns about the turnover margin and the one-score games. They're going to see some regression in those areas. But again, just like Missouri, they play the 98th ranked strength of schedule, and their win total is 9.5. So everybody is already on this team, and they view them as a possible breakout team. And if they just get to 10 wins, I mean, again, that's probably going to be good enough to make it into the playoff. I don't see them being left out with 10 wins. I just don't see it happening. So I will dive more into them later when we get to the SEC preview and whatnot. And but again, as one of the top, as one of only three teams to be in the top 30 in those, in the production rankings and the efficiency rankings, that is a huge deal. All right. Next, we're going to travel to the Big 12. We're going to go to Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma State has an overall offensive returning production of 10th, and their 2023 offensive S&P Plus ranking was 28th. Now, receiving yards, they rank 57th in returning production, offensive line snaps, 11th in returning production, and then rushing yards, 4th. Now, we're going to dive into their offensive statistics from 2023, and you're going to kind of see they're really built around the running game. And that's obvious because Ollie Gordon is the best running back, arguably, in college football. I mean, last year he ran for 1,732 yards and 21 rushing touchdowns. Now, why I say they're built around that, simply because their passing success rate is 33rd, while their passing explosiveness is 113th. So what that really tells me is they are managing the game from a passing standpoint and trying to really punish from the rushing standpoint. And that's where their offense is run through. And, you know, that is nothing against you know, their quarterback, Alex Bowman, but that's just what the offense is set up for. That's what they want to do. Now, as we dive into the volatile statistics, there are some that really stand out. 5-1 in one score games, just that's not going to happen again. Turnover margin, +2, 49th overall, and fumble luck, +1.28. You know, one thing that just gives me pause again is going to be tied for the second most one-score victories in college football last year. That's going to regress. Now, even though their strength of schedule is 75th, I feel as if they're going to take a step back this year. And, I mean, the conference viewed from a whole is, you know, you're losing Texas and Oklahoma. So people would say, okay, well, you know, Texas – playoff team last year, you know, the conference is easier. I don't view it like that. I view the Big 12 as a harder conference than it was last year with the additions of, you know, the Pac-12 teams, especially Utah, you know, and Arizona. I feel as if it's going to be a harder road for them. And I don't view them being as elite as some of the other teams on this list. Now, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to the next team who I've already touched base on, which is SMU. Now, I've already written up and had an episode on how high I am on them, especially their quarterback play, Preston Stone. But let's dive in to their returning production and, you know, kind of what their offense really looked like last year, right? So they are 16th in offensive returning production and 23rd in offense in 2023 offensive S&P Plus ranking. Their receiving yards returning production is 15th, and their offensive line snaps returning production is 77th, and their rushing yards returning production 27th. Now, their advanced statistics last year, they really are skewed towards their strength, and that is passing. Their overall success rate, 46th. Their overall explosiveness, 14th. And their overall rushing success rate, 32nd. Rushing explosiveness, 123rd. Passing success rate, 67th. And passing explosiveness, 3rd. Now, they also ranked 13th in points per opportunity per game. So that right there just – That tells me when you have such a high ranking in points per opportunity per game, that means you're getting a lot of opportunities per game, but you're also capitalizing on those scoring opportunities, which is as important as getting to those opportunities. Now, from a volatile statistics standpoint, they were 2-0 in one score games. I don't really view that as a huge negative. That tells, you know, one thing that tells me is, you know, yes, they play a couple close games. You're going to play close games, but 2 is not like something to like shy away from. That means they're dominating everybody else. Their turnover margin was +3, which is not really, you know, that's pretty par. It's 46th overall. And then they actually had a negative fumble luck, which ranks 71st. So, you know, they weren't incredibly lucky, which is something that is always going to give me pause. And one thing that really stands out, again, is they play one of the easiest schedules in the entire country, also the easiest schedule in the ACC, at 117th overall. They genuinely have to beat Florida State, and they will be playing in the ACC championship game. Now, this is a big step up in, you know, class for their conference, but the thing is, it's not like they're taking on the gauntlet when it comes to the schedule. They're stepping up, obviously, you know, coming from the AAC, but are they really taking a huge step forward? Because they're not, the schedule is not there, at least not this year. And I'm really high on Preston Stone. I believe he's the best quarterback in the ACC by far. And I genuinely think they're going to be gate crash in the championship game and have a legitimate outside chance at a playoff berth. On to our next team, we get Texas A&M in the SEC. And I know there's going to be a lot of pause about this team, as it seems as if they've just have talent, they've had talent, and they just never cashed in on it. Well, I'm going to tell you why I believe this team is different this year for numerous reasons, okay? So let's first start with their returning production profile, and that's going to be they are 21st in offensive returning production, and they are 20th in 2023 offensive S&P plus ranking. Now they're going to bring back their receiving yards returning production of 10th, offensive line snaps returning production of 18th, and rushing yards returning production of 6th. Now we're going to take a look at these advanced statistics, but we have to take them kind of with a grain of salt simply because it is a complete regime change when it comes to coaching. So offensive success rate, 54th overall. Overall explosiveness, 36th. Overall rushing success rate, 59th. Rushing explosiveness, 98th. And passing success rate, 58th. Passing explosiveness, 23rd. One thing that does stand out, though, points per opportunity per game, they were 16th. So they, you know, by sheer volume getting inside their opponent's 40, they were able to, you know, put up enough points to be elite in that category. Now, as we get into their volatile stats, that's kind of where they're standing out to me. One thing that really stands out to me is they're 0-4 in one score games. And then they have a turnover margin of -2, which is 85th. And then they have a fumble luck of -1.92, which is 100th. So one thing is, I mean, Texas A&M fires Jimbo Fisher. And then they go out and they hire former Duke head coach Mike Elko. I mean, if you're an Aggies fan, I mean, you probably threw a party when you heard this. And, you know, you probably, you know, just thanked whatever you believe in and just rejoiced. Because I'm not sure if there is another college football coach who has done less with more talent than Jimbo Fisher. I mean, to put it kindly, he's the John Calipari of college football. And they do this entire overhaul. They bring in Kansas State offensive coordinator Colin Klein, and they bring in Florida linebackers coach Jay Bateman, a defensive coordinator. On top of all that, Texas A&M is one of the three teams ranking in the top 30 in returning production for offensive and defense, And then pair that with top 30 efficiency rankings in offense and defense. And they are primed for a run. If this coaching staff can get everybody buying in immediately, they are primed for a run. Now, don't get it twisted. They have a tough schedule. They're 36th overall in strength of schedule. But I feel like all of the things compiling together, the returning production, the staff overhaul, like this is good. I mean, this is the best Texas A&M team we're probably going to see since the Johnny Manziel days. And I see them competing for a playoff berth and possibly even an SEC championship. All right. On to the next team. We have Oregon and the Big Ten. And their returning production profile on offense is terrifying because they're 24th in offensive returning production from the best offense last year. They were first overall in S&P Plus. And then when you get down to break it down even further, you know, they're 51st in receiving yards returning production, 33rd in offensive line snaps returning production, and 77th in rushing yards returning production. Now, when you look at their advanced statistics, it probably you probably take a step back because if I told you Oregon's offense is ranked first overall, you're probably sitting there like, oh, well, yeah, of course, they're super explosive. You know, they're all over the place. And that is not the case, though. They are actually first in success rate and 66th in explosiveness. So they stay ahead of the chains better than anybody. Just think of them as like a souped-up armed forces team. They're just always ahead of the chains. They're first in offensive success rate, first in passing success rate. And because of all of these things, they end up being second in points per opportunity per game. But one thing that stands out to me is they're 106th in offensive passing explosiveness. And the reason being is last year, Bo Nix was just the epitome of a Mickey Mouse quarterback. And I'll dive more into that here in a second so you're not wondering why I'm bringing Disney into this analysis. But the thing is, Bo Nix ranked 8th and behind the line of scrimmage attempts last year. 27.6% of his passes were behind the line of scrimmage. That is an insane amount. And then he's overall second in Mickey Mouse attempts. 67% of his passes were either behind the line of scrimmage or within 9 yards. And those are layup throws. I mean, those are safe, get them out, RPO, keep a quarterback in the box type throws. The one thing that I'm hoping Oregon's coaching staff and offense realizes is Dylan Gabriel, transfer quarterback from Oklahoma, is levels better than Bo Nix. And it's not even close. I mean, this kid can light it up in the medium to deep range, and they need to open the offense and tailor that to that skill set. He does not need to be throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage 27% of the time. And that's why when Justin Herbert came into the NFL, there was a lot of confusion on whether or not he was going to be a lead or anything because Oregon kept him in a box throwing the ball. And now I'm not sitting here and I'm not saying Dylan Gabriel is Justin Herbert. That's not what I'm saying. But from all like evaluations, this kid can push the ball down the field. And Oklahoma took advantage of that. Now, they had other issues, you know, that, you know, kept them from winning a Big 12 championship and, you know, things like that. But it surely wasn't the quarterback play. If Oregon opens up the offense, they will compete for a Big 10 and a national championship. On to our next team, Georgia. And listing that team, I'm sure everybody is like, great. Georgia was good last year. They were good the year before. Now they're going to be good again. Like, this is the new Alabama, basically. Like, we're kind of fed up and tired of it. Well, I mean, let's dive in. Their offensive returning production, 28th overall from an elite offense that ranked 4th in S&P Plus last year. Now, the receiving yards returning production is 60th, offensive line snaps 47th, rushing yards 89th. Now, again, this is an interesting offense, and I'm going to list off the success rates, and then we'll get to the explosiveness numbers. Success rate, overall success rate, 4th. Rushing success rate, 8th. Passing success rate, 3rd. Now, their overall explosiveness, 89th. Rushing explosiveness, 46th. Passing explosiveness, 121st. But they ranked 1st overall in points per opportunity per game. Now, as I touched on with Carson Beck in the quarterbacks episode, he is really good, and he is going to be a top 5 pick more than likely in the NFL draft. Georgia didn't really need him to do anything more than he did. And what they asked him to do, he excelled at. Now this year, we're going to really get to see how good Georgia is. And the reason I say that is last year, they had an unbelievably soft strength of schedule. And the only game that they faced adversity in, they lost to Alabama. Now, I know that was only a one-score game, but at no point in that game did it feel like they were going to win. Now, they are minus 650 to make the playoffs. And that's an insane number to me. I mean, they're basically penciling them in, even if they have a bad season. So their team total is 10.5. So even if they have a bad season and win 10 games and don't win the SEC championship, they're basically saying Georgia's getting in. So outside of Georgia losing 3 games, which probably will not happen, they're going to be in the playoff. Now, Georgia and Carson Beck are both the favorites to win the national championship and the Heisman, respectively. Now, I don't really believe that's going to happen, but I understand why. I don't really see any universe where they're not going to be considered one of the best 12 teams in December. But in this type of format, they will have to improve upon their passing explosiveness. And if they do, I mean, I don't know who's going to beat them, to be honest. All right. And lastly, we have the last team is going to be Memphis out of the AAC. Now, Memphis's offensive returning production is 29th, and their S&P Plus offensive ranking from last year is 10th. Their receiving yards returning production is 48th, and their offensive line snaps returning production, 66th. And then their rushing yards returning production, 61st. Now, from an advanced statistics standpoint, Memphis was really good last year, and they will probably be similarly good this year with Seth Hennigan returning back to the fold. And, he is a top 2 AAC quarterback. As I went over in my AAC episode. So they rank 21st in overall success rate, 30th in rushing success rate, 21st in passing success rate. So pretty solid across the board. Overall explosiveness, 28th. Rushing explosiveness, 52nd. Passing explosiveness, 60th. And then they rank 10th in overall points per opportunity per game. So to put it, bluntly, they are considered the darling of the group of 5. And they're a very trendy pick to make the playoffs. And I just, not to be a Debbie Downer, I just don't see that happening. And I'll tell you why. Last year, they go 4-1 in one score games. Turnover margin, plus 534th overall. fumble luck, plus 2.14, 28th overall. That right there would be enough to give me pause. But then I look at the other things to take into consideration. Their strength of schedule is 52nd overall. That is pretty high for a group of five team. And they will have to go. I just don't see them going into Florida State and winning that game. It could happen, but I don't see that happening. Therefore, they must run the table in the AAC for an outside chance at a playoff berth. While that is possible, there are a lot of, you know, speed bumps along the way. They're going to have challenging road games against the Navy, South Florida, and Tulane. If they lose any one of those games and Florida State, they're not making the playoffs. It's just not going to happen. Now, with that being said, that doesn't mean the season would be a disappointment. I mean, they're looking to appear in the ACC championship game for the first time since 2019. Now, even though I see them having regression and the one-score games and some fumble luck, I do see them competing for an ACC championship. I don't think the only other team in that conference that I have my eyes on is South Florida. And, you know, I just don't want people to confuse, oh, well, we didn't make the playoffs as a disappointment. Well, you haven't won an ACC championship and or played for an AAC championship in 5 years. So, you know, I think that would be a solid consolation prize. Now, that wraps up all of the offensive units. I will be putting out a correlating article. So if you want to dive more into the statistics and have a visual, you know, reference point, you can do that. It will be posted on my website, themittnermethod.com. Other than that, in the upcoming episodes, we're going to dive into some coordinator changes and some really dense, high-level statistics. Hopefully they won't bore you to death and put you to sleep. I'm working on how to, you know, relay them so yeah, everybody finds them interesting and, you know, doesn't feel like they're back in, like, you know, statistics class. So other than that, thanks for joining. Thanks for listening. And I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.